Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There is so much in the news, but I think we're going to go to the calls right away. But here's what's in the news. All right, the Army has tested a tank that can appear to be invisible, blending in with its background with display technology. That's sure to get more sophisticated as time goes on. And then we have in Ohio a colony of 500 mice. They're called super mice. The mouse that shook the world, genetically modified, can run for hours, can run 4 miles without stopping. They live much longer than normal mice. They eat twice as much. They weigh less. They reproduce far more actively. They got 500 of them now. It's in the Journal of Biological Chemistry. What if one of those things got out? Well, I guess it would matter if it was a female and pregnant, or a male and Jurassic Park got after it. So anyway, that's scary stuff. You know, remember when the Chinese fused human cells with rabbit eggs and were developing this hybrid rabbit-human? And that's happened now with, 10 different animals, and they have merged human DNA with animal DNA. It's just horrifying. Some of the things that are happening, certainly science learns nothing from morality and a respect for God. Okay, so is that about it? And then we'll go to the phones. Oh, one more thing. United Airlines has apparently been given a permit to build an abortion clinic in Denver. What in the world is going on? This is just an insane time we live in. The city and county of Denver apparently issued a permit to United Airlines to build the nation's largest abortion facility on 38th Ave. And that's part of the insanity, the lies of the Weitz Corporation and Planned Parenthood deceiving subcontractors. It's a citywide deception. The largest real estate broker in Denver is basically in on it, creating an LLC to buy and sell abortion properties. And so anyway, that's the story. But right now we have a caller from theologyonline.com, and he goes by the screen name of Fool, and he's calling about the protest at the residences of the executives of the Weitz Corporation who are helping Planned Parenthood build a child-killing center. So, Fool, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. It's been, a year since we talked?
I think so. Before we get to the abortion thing, who's the moron that decided to make a super mouse?
It's a case. Let me see here. This is in Cleveland, Ohio, Case Western Reserve University. Huh. Case Western.
And what do they think they needed that for?
Well, they were fooling around with its genes for, its digestion. And let's see here. Yeah. I don't know. They're just crazy. Maybe they were thinking about weight loss for humans and experimenting on mice.
Great.
So it's a metabolism deal.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to finding one of those in my cupboard pretty soon.
Yes.
All right, so on to the construction guys and the abortion thing.
Yeah.
You guys are attempting or trying to execute. If these guys build these clinics, you're going to protest in front of their houses basically forever?
Well, for as many years as Planned Parenthood is killing children at this abortion facility, Denver pro-lifers have made a commitment to go to the homes of the Weitz Corporation, during those years. For example, 8 holidays a year, they go to the homes of abortionists.
Uh-huh.
And during other special events also.
I see. Oh, so it's just an occasional thing.
It's a holiday abortionist home visit.
A holiday abortionist home visit.
Right. You like to visit people on the holidays if you're Christian.
Right.
And so
right.
You can't forget about the eternal souls of abortionists.
Right.
It would be occasional.
I'd like to borrow a line from the NRA. Buildings don't kill people. People kill people.
All right.
So I don't understand. I mean, wouldn't you be better served if you've got that much protest capacity instead of, showing up in front of some carpenter's house?
right,
to go stand in front of like the local pharmacy that passes out the the RU number whatever thing.
Yeah, that would be valuable. But you know, when a society is committed to killing the innocent, then it's not usually just the executioner. It's an entire infrastructure of people who support killing the innocent, people who facilitate, the collaborators, the judges, the lawmakers, and so on. So in Germany, how many people did it take to slaughter millions of innocent people? It wasn't just Hitler running around single-handedly killing everyone. It was hundreds of thousands of Germans who were complicitous, who were collaborators. And right. And generally, the least guilty were the ones who knew it was happening but decided to do or say nothing. They were the least guilty. And that's pretty guilty.
Right.
Would you agree with that? In Germany, for example, that everyone that was part of the machinery to kill the innocent all shared the guilt?
Well, yeah. In that case, somebody had to build a gas chamber, and you pretty much only do one thing with a gas chamber.
Yeah, do you know where those gas chambers were built first? Because they were moved into the concentration camps.
No, where were they built first?
They were built in the hospitals and the insane asylums and the reform schools of for the Germans. And that Germany euthanized about 100,000 Germans before they killed any Jews in any concentration camps. And so after they had, there was a goal, literally, to clear out their hospitals to make way for the wounded soldiers who could go back to fight. And they killed tens of thousands of Germans. And then they took the gas chambers from their hospitals and medical facilities, and they moved them into the concentration camps. And what do we learn from history? We learn that man learns nothing from history, and America is radically pro-euthanasia like the Germans were, and radically pro-utilitarian view of life and quality of life. And if the quality of life isn't there, they're better off dead.
Right, right. He didn't care too much for handicaps or retarded.
No,
anything along those lines.
And you know the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. I read her two books, and in one of her books, she wrote about the handicapped, and she listed them. She said the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the mute, the lame, these are the dead weight of human waste. And she's not been repudiated by our culture, by the media, by our universities that praise her, by Planned Parenthood that gives out a Margaret Sanger Award. These are people who despise human beings made in the image of God. And they'll worship the creation or animals or trees, but they'll kill children.
So back to the abortuary.
Yeah.
I've been in a few doctor's offices that did a lot of stuff like that, and they're pretty much just exactly like any other doctor's office.
Yeah.
I mean, the building that they're building would probably be completely indistinguishable from any OBGYN office.
Yeah, that's true, unless it's like in Wichita at George Tiller's abortuary, where he has an incinerator, and I've been there when the incinerator is on, and literally ashes are coming down out of the sky. They land on the pro-lifers, the ashes of the babies that were killed that day and now are being incinerated. So there is a good-sized smokestack on the drawings of this new abortion facility, and we don't know if it's an incinerator or if that's normal for a medical facility. We don't know yet.
It probably is an incinerator because people don't generally heat their buildings with boilers anymore.
Yeah.
So that's that. And I have worked on medical waste incinerators before. They probably did burn baby bodies, but they also burn, well, everything that's medical waste. And I didn't really have a conflict with that because it's used for other things as well.
Yeah, I don't have a conflict with burning medical waste, but disposing of children that you killed is just more guilt in covering up the crime. A new friend of mine, Dr. Diane Irving, did a tremendous amount of research after World War II at the Library of Congress. In fact, she held in her hand the actual lab book of Dr. Mengele.
You know, that guy.
The name we all know just as a concept. She went through his own handwritten lab notes, photographs of girls he called his twins, three-year-old gypsy girls, twins, and one was the control. He kept them in a cage in his office, next to his office. One was a control. The other, he used a knife and would dig out the femur bone of her leg without any painkiller, ice bandages, just to do experiments on treatment of soldiers injured in the field and how they could survive. Anyway, she was horrified by a year and a half of this research and then went to a Holocaust conference at the University of Minnesota, and one of the speakers was this young woman, and she was surprised. How could such a young woman be a Holocaust survivor? And it turned out to be that twin, that girl. And this woman, Diane Irving, Dr. Diane Irving, is helping us at Colorado Right to Life in our effort to properly define the beginning of human life to avoid this kind of insanity.
Right. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. If Weitzer Corporation does turn down the job, are you just going to go after whoever pops up next?
Yes.
Because somebody will do this. Now,
yes.
What about somebody who goes and builds a Walmart pharmacy?
Well, that's a good point. You know, during World War II, you've got a war raging in two theaters in Europe and the Pacific. You're fighting in North Africa, and you have to choose your battles. You don't have the resources to bring your full intensity everywhere. So you got to be wise. And this is the largest abortion facility in the country. This, how many square feet is this thing? About $6 million, 52,000 square feet.
It's not very big.
52,000 square feet for an abortion facility. We believe it's the largest in the country. It's not all for performing abortions, but it's their Planned Parenthood headquarters for the Rocky Mountains.
Wow, quite a place. All right, so you're going after the suppliers of the building. I mean, obviously you guys have a constant presence outside of all the Planned Parenthood offices.
Where they kill kids, Christians at Denver Bible Church are joined by Christians from just a few other churches, and we are at 20th and Vine, where Planned Parenthood has been killing kids now for over 30 years. We've been there 5 days a week for about 20 years. Now, that goes back to before Denver Bible Church was formed, but I'm talking about the same Christians who make up Denver Bible Church and other pro-life activists have been there 5 days a week. Whenever they're killing kids, Christians are there pleading with the mothers, the fathers, and the workers, the clinic workers, for mercy for those kids. And about 100 times a year, a mom decides to not kill her child, and then, of course, we celebrate with her.
Right. Well, that's definitely a good thing.
I'm glad to hear you say so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just taken aback. I'm like, what does a construction guy have to do with it?
What if it was, you know, it's easy in America because they don't kill you when you're a pro-lifer. In Germany, if you would fight against the Holocaust, they would kill you. So we have no excuse whatsoever for not fighting against the killing of kids. But what if it was in Germany and you knew that they were building Auschwitz? Do you think it would be responsible to oppose it to whatever extent you're able to?
I think you'd be better suited fighting the government than going after the construction guy.
Well, let's say it's a long-term battle. It's a long-term battle, and the slaughter of the innocent is going on for decades. So now you find out they're building the largest slaughterhouse of them all. Would it be responsible to oppose it?
I would oppose the site, but not necessarily. I mean, are you going to follow the carpenter and the mason home? Obviously, when the construction fence goes up and they break ground, you're going to be there, right?
You do what you can with the resources you have.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and we want to discourage others from becoming collaborators. And we know that these techniques work. Fool, would you agree that based on media reports and the abortion industry's own comments over the last 20 years, it is very difficult to get replacement abortionists? Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not aware of that, actually.
Okay, well, that's been reported over a period of about 20 years, and I'll give you the latest that I'm aware of is the L.A. Times did a big piece. They quoted Warren Hearn, our Boulder late-term abortionist, and he's talking to young medical students, and he is extremely frustrated and jaded. And he says, come on, get real. None of you will become abortionists. None of you will put up with it because there's protest when you go to work. There's protest when you go home. Who's going to want to do this? It's been in the New York Times. It's been in the media around the country. Because
right,
who?
Right.
What medical student wants domestic terrorists at their home on Christmas? Because the media right. calls us domestic terrorists, and that works in our favor because we're more feared than we deserve. We're just a bunch of lunatics.
Yeah, I mean, do they actually have doctors doing the abortions, or don't you just have to take like a 40-hour course or something?
No, no, they have doctors certified by the AMA, certified doctors, physicians, perform abortions in America.
Seems like that'd be a pretty low-paying gig.
No, very, very well-paying.
Oh, really?
An abortion, they will fill up their waiting rooms. It's a science. It's an assembly line. And the abortionist could perform an abortion basically at Planned Parenthood in about 5 minutes. So the women are all prepped and ready, and he moves back and forth from one operating room to the next. And usually it's a piece. They pay him by the piece. It's a piece rate. How many kids you kill, whatever it is, $130 a kid. And an abortionist could kill 20 kids, 30, 40, in a couple hours, depending on how many women are packing the waiting room.
Wow.
Very, very profitable. Thank you. Anything, any last comment, Fool?
No, I'll let you go ahead and get on the show. I just, get on with the show. I just wanted to make sure that I got my comments, and I know I made a couple, I responded to a couple threads, and it just seemed like going after the construction guy was putting the cart before the horse, but I thought you were talking about a daily thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's a holiday thing. That does make a lot more sense.
All right. I appreciate you letting me clarify that.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Appreciate that. That's Fool from Theology Online, one of the most popular Christian websites in the world, TOL, theologyonline.com. Go there to share with others your thoughts. You have questions. You post the question, you get 10 answers. Now, 9 or 10 of them might be wrong, but you'll get the answers. Prayer request. You get to know people. Some people get married at TOL eventually. It's been on the internet for more than 10 years, and many of our articles are there, and the Bob in Your Life Forum is also at theologyonline.com. It is a ministry of Denver Bible Church. It was founded by and run by two of our elders of Denver Bible Church. Let's go to Brighton, Colorado. Jim, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I know your feelings about Mitt Romney as far as running for president, and I certainly agree with you, especially since he's a Mormon, and we both know what the doctrine of the Mormon Church is.
Right.
All right. My question is, I'm a little puzzled by your support of Alan Keyes. He's a Roman Catholic, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, their doctrine is as far out as the Mormons are.
Well, let me tell you a difference. Now, I'm not a Catholic. I grew up Catholic, and I went 8 years Catholic grammar school. I was an altar boy, and I left the Catholic Church. I went to a very liberal church. They taught evolution. The priest would come in and teach us, and then he'd cuss at us, literally vulgar words, at the students. And the sister, the nun who ran the whole school, I went to her to ask her about reincarnation, and she said to me, oh, reincarnation has been proved. It's okay to believe in reincarnation. So this was a goofy, you know, school.
Yeah.
But the Catholic Church believes in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in one God and three persons. And the fundamental, the kernel of Christian truth is that the triune God created the universe and man, man in his image, that man rebelled, sinned against God, that God the Son became flesh, dwelt among us sinlessly, died on the cross for as a sacrifice for sin, was raised again from the dead 3 days later, and now God will judge the living and the dead. That's the fundamental Christian gospel. And if you go through Martin Luther, Thomas Aquinas, John Calvin, current mainline denominations, Seventh-day Adventists, Calvary Chapels, Nazarenes, Baptists, so on, you'll find this extraordinary divergence of teaching on soteriology, the study of salvation itself.
Yeah, well, that's the problem right there.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm reading out of the Catholic Truth for Youth. It's a book written by the father, Robert Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, like, for example, the only person who was preserved from original sin was Mary. So Mary was not did not have to have Jesus to get to heaven, apparently.
And, of course, that's a false teaching. And let's just clarify that. Mary, in the Gospels, she said, my God and my Savior. That's
yes,
what she said. She called God her Savior. And the reason the Catholic Church came to this view that Mary was born sinless, the Immaculate Conception that they celebrate.
Yes, I know what that means.
Yeah, people think it's when Jesus was conceived in Mary. It's not, tragically. It's they think when Mary was conceived.
Well, here's the point I'm calling in on. Since I understand the Catholic doctrine that they think that at baptism, that's when you're restored to grace, that your salvation comes through the Catholic Church.
All right. Now, Jim, let me just finish that last point for the audience, and then we'll take up with your
comment. Have hard enough time, do we?
No, we do. We have time. That last point, the Catholics thought, and this is rather late in their history, that, well, Mary, first of all, she ascended. That became an official doctrine just in the last couple hundred years or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they said, well, then she must not have been a sinner, and she gave birth to a sinless person. Therefore, she herself must have been sinless to give birth to a sinless person.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with that thinking is then Mary's mother would have had to been sinless to give birth to a sinless person. So that was based on human wisdom. It ignores Mary's own words that she calls God her Savior. God is not Michael's Savior or the Archangel Gabriel's Savior. They don't need a Savior, but Mary needed a Savior. Okay, so go ahead about baptism.
Well, that's the part of the thing I'm worried about here. If Alan Keyes is a strong Catholic, then he obviously goes along with the Catholic doctrines, at least most of them, the original ones. Like, for example, they believe that the Pope is the representative of Jesus here on earth, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, if Alan Keyes is a Roman Catholic and he thinks his salvation comes through the Catholic Church and their doctrine, then obviously he's not saved. He doesn't believe that his faith in Jesus Christ alone.
Okay, now let's talk through that. You mentioned infant baptism earlier, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Reformation, Martin Luther, he got rid of infant baptism?
You know, I don't know. He was so close to the Catholic Church.
No, he kept it. The Lutherans, they kept it.
Yeah.
There are tens of millions of Protestant Christians, even evangelical and fundamental, over the last 400 years, who believed and promoted infant baptism.
Well,
and
yes,
so, and go ahead.
Well, if they actually believed that part of the salvation was infant baptism, and they didn't really, truly, I mean, there's a lot of people that consider themselves
right.
Christians that are not Christians.
All right,
let me. By what the Bible says salvation is.
Okay, now let's go with that. But let me interrupt this with one other thought. Alan Keyes is a strong advocate of the death penalty, as he said on PBS just a few weeks ago,
Nationwide.
And, of course, the Vatican is opposed to the death penalty, which shows that Alan Keyes does think for himself. He's not a cookie-cutter human being believing whatever he's told to believe. As far as soteriology, what you have to believe to be saved, you mentioned earlier, when I mentioned that word, you said that's the issue. Well, the Bible says we have to trust in Jesus Christ. And if you remember the criminal on the cross next to Christ,
yes,
who trusted in Jesus Christ, if we were to test him on what his beliefs were, they would be all over the map. He would hardly have a clue. He would just know that what he heard about Jesus Christ, he came to the humble point where he trusted Jesus Christ. And God requires that we trust him for salvation. Now, does that mean that once I trust Christ for salvation, that all that my basic theology is going to be right for the rest of my life?
Well, no, it isn't.
Not at all. In fact, in the New Testament, we see the Apostle Paul rebuking the Apostle Peter and calling him a hypocrite, saying, Peter, this is in Galatians 2, you're a hypocrite. In fact, he said, you're being untruthful about the gospel. And why is that? Because Peter was twisting, he was mixing in the Mosaic law with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did that in Antioch. We've had this Bible study in Antioch, in Turkey, with our church, Denver Bible Church, right there on location. And so there is a tremendous ability for people who are saved to become utterly confused about basic theology and the truth of the gospel. And that doesn't mean then that God will not save them, but it is horrifying what our misinformation and false teaching does to those who are unsaved, and even to believers.
Well, if Alan Keyes, I've been praying for Alan Keyes and Pat Buchanan for 10 years to get saved, because I know what they are. And the last person in the world I would want as a president is a man who's going to try to talk to God through Mary or the Catholic Church.
Oh, talking to God through Mary is wrong. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. But
well,
I tell you,
now that's one of the reasons I like Ron Paul, because...
Well, Ron Paul has a godless view of government. So we are out of time now, Jim.
Okay.
But why don't you call back? We'll talk about Ron Paul.
All right.
May God bless you. Appreciate that. At Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, there is going to be a scientist, a doctor, Robert Bell, talking about alternative medicine. This is going to be 7 o'clock Thursday night, November 8th. So at Maranatha's Fountain of Life, that's at 72nd and Oak Street in Arvada. You are welcome to attend. It's free of charge. That's Thursday night, November 8th, 7 o'clock, Dr. Robert Bell. Talking about infection, antibiotics, and the diet, and alternative medicine. And if you need to learn about all that, I think you'll love it. TalkRadioNetwork.com. You get more information. And it was enjoyable speaking with Fool. Remember, TheologyOnline.com, and our website is KGOV.com.